Amen. I greet you all again in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful to be here this morning, meet with you all again. May God's grace and peace be with each and every one who strives to follow the Lord. Sang there that song, we all have but one probation, we all have but one life. The aged sinners, or the old, the young, the poor, the rich, have one probation. We have but one life to live. This morning I want to talk about the judgment day. A little different maybe than what we would think of it at some time. But nevertheless, we're all preparing. That should be the goal of our life. Instead of living to live or seeking our life so that we can live, we should be preparing our life for the day we die. We know that that day is coming. Everyone knows. Whether they believe it or not, they know it's coming. I want to read from Matthew chapter 10. I was encouraged this morning, or blessed, with the thought again of Brother Jeff mentioned about the seer. A lot of times when we think of a seer or a prophet, we think of someone that just has dreams and just sees the future. Has a special gift of being able to be a fortune teller. Or someone who can predict the future. And we sometimes think that's some kind of magical gift that people have. And there were times in the Bible God revealed the future, maybe hundreds of years in advance of someone. But for the most part, a seer or a prophet in the Bible is just someone who can look down the road far enough to see what's going to happen. When I was teaching my children how to drive, or whenever I teach young people how to drive, I tell them to look down the road and see what's happening way ahead of you. So you can pay attention to what's going on. Because that's where you're going to be shortly. So if you look out there and see an accident, or you see someone thinking about pulling out in front of you, you can look out ahead and see what's going to happen. Basically, that's what a seer is able to do. He's able to look out at life and see what is ahead of him. He's able to analyze a situation and look out just a little bit and see where they're headed. I want to tie this in with this principle that Jesus taught several times about the judgment. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 15, he's talking here. He had sent his disciples out. And he warned them that those that would receive him and their message, receive them and their message, that they would be welcomed. Those who wouldn't would be rejected thoroughly. Verse 15, he says, "Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city." That's in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 20, beginning there. "Then he began to upbraid the cities wherein most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable in the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee." Chapter 12. Verse 40. Let's begin at 39. "But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of Nineveh," or in the heart of the earth. "The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonas, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. The Queen of the South shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here." In Luke, it does the same thing. Chapter 10, verse 10 and 11, beginning in 29, there's no need to turn there. It basically repeats the same thing. It's teaching a principle. In other places in the Bible, it's a principle that the Lord is establishing through His teaching. If we look and examine at this principle, and that's what I want to do this morning, by way of examining ourselves, by just looking and seeing what's going on in the world, where are we at? Some of you heard tell of the trip recent trip to India and had an opportunity to learn a little bit about Gandhi. And I used this example. Gandhi grew up. He was an Indian. But he became a lawyer. And at that time, England was in control of much of the world. They still ruled the world, basically. They were in great decline, but they were still were very powerful. And they were supposedly a Christian nation. And at one point, Gandhi, whenever he was a lawyer, I just believe that he would have probably called himself a Christian at one point, being a part of a Christian nation. And he tried to assimilate into that nation by becoming a lawyer and became a very respectable person in that nation. But yet he was still an Indian from India. And he was traveling on a train one time, and he had bought a first class ticket. And there was a black man that was on the train, a servant, and he came in to serve him. And Gandhi began to talk to him about heaven and hell, if he ever thought of eternity. And the conductor overheard him, or someone heard it and talked to the conductor. And they came to find out about it, and they realized that Gandhi was an Indian. And they considered him a colored man or a black man. And so they asked him to leave the first class cabin and go back to the third class where he belonged. And he refused to do it. And they said, well, you either leave or the next stop, we're going to throw you off. The next stop, he got thrown off. And he began to realize how that the people were, just because of the color of their skin, were treated differently. They weren't treated all as human beings. They weren't treated all as equally being able to follow Christ. And so he began to question these things about Christianity. And they were required to carry a card. Anyone who wasn't from England or white was required to carry an identification card. And he had brought a group of people together and had been talking to them and trying to get the people to get the attention of the government to bring up this unjustness. And so he had a little gathering together, and he brought a few people together, not a lot, but there was some newspapers there, and he held up the card and said, he was in India at this time, and he held up the card and he said, this is my country, I live here, and I'm required to have a card when other people aren't, that don't even live here, that they weren't even born here. And so he took the card and he burned it. And the police saw him burning it and they told him to stop and he wouldn't do it. And so they beat him up. He was laying there on the ground and there was another card and he picked it up and he began to burn it. And they beat him up again. And there were some others around that were gathered and watching this. Rose up, took their cards and began to burn them. And this was reported that this man was beaten and he didn't fight back. And whenever they took him to court, in the courtroom, he testified. And he talked about Jesus and the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount. How that we're to love our enemies. Later, as his movement began to grow, and they saw the example of following the teachings of Christ, that he was putting into example. And every time that they resisted him, he reproved them and said, this is the teachings that Christ has taught. You are the ones that are professing to be Christians. And here you are beating people that are just trying to live in their own country. And here you Christians are harming them, hurting them. And every time that they took him to court, he just fell back on the teachings of Jesus. At one point, they were working, and they had, I don't know what the situation was, there was a strike or something, and they were trying to keep the people from their work, trying to stop this movement as it kept growing. And they brought a group of policemen there. And the men peacefully tried to go to work. And every time they would step up, the policemen began firing on them. And after they would drag the dead and the wounded away, another group stepped up, encouraged, and stood right up and started walking too, and they fired again. And this happened several times until they had killed almost 1,200 men. And this got out. The news of this got out all around the world. How this man was able to lead these people and they were willing to die for what they believed in. For a just cause. And they did it peacefully. In fact, there was a few times that people rose up and tried to fight. And any time they began fighting, Gandhi would just simply quit eating. Any time any of his people would fight, he would quit eating. And he got to the place several times where he was just about to die. One time his kidneys had shut down and several... He was just on the verge of dying. And they begged him to eat, but he wouldn't eat. Until the people quit their fighting. And they did. And he would take bread again. He had lived, was a lawyer, and he reduced the way he lived to just being a very simple man. We've heard a saying about him that he would have loved to have been a Christian. Or he would have been a Christian had it not been for the Christians. Today, people would think that Gandhi could never be a Christian because he doesn't believe right. He didn't believe right. When he died being a Hindu, living in the Hindu religion. But I'm going to tell you right now that on the day of judgment, he's going to rise up and condemn Christianity as we know it today. He's going to rise up and condemn people who have their theology all figured out and yet hate their enemies and fight against them. There's a woman named Mother Teresa, a Catholic. Roman Catholic. When she was a young lady, she gave herself to the Lord as best she knew. And she felt like the Lord was calling her to go into Calcutta to the poorest of the poor, the leper colonies, and the dirty outcast of India. She felt a call to go there. And in her memoirs, her writings, she said she felt that call 50 years ago. And at times, often, she wondered if that's where God still wanted her. Because she didn't hear very much else from God. But she knew that she had been placed in that place. So she stayed there. And was able to help multitudes of people that no one else cared about. Today, modern Christians would say, well, she was a Catholic. She didn't believe quite right. But somehow, she heard and saw and lived some principles of the teachings of the gospel. I believe she, just like Gandhi, will rise up in judgment against multitudes of those that would condemn them just because they didn't believe right. And I don't know where they're going to be. That's up to God. But I do know this. That if we follow the teachings and principles of Christ, that's what he said was required to go to heaven. And they're going to rise up in judgment. Their lives are going to rise up and they're going to compare them with ours. They're going to compare them with people who profess to be Christians. Whether they are right, whether they're wrong, they're going to be examples. Today, people would condemn the Muslims for a lot of things. Modern Christians just hate the modesty. They hate the suppression, supposedly, of women. And I'm sure there's cases that they are abused, taken advantage of. But most of the women, a lot of them there, are in submission to their husbands. They're dressing decently and in order. And the Muslims, I believe, are going to rise up in judgment against modern Christianity for these principles that they're keeping. Read a little notice that somehow I've get a letter from some missionary group, and it tells how Muslims are being converted and they're taking off their coverings and starting to dress Western. And they're rejoicing in that. These so-called Christian denominations spreading their garbage all over the world. They're rejoicing in the fact that they don't have to be under suppression anymore. They don't have to be suppressed. They're given liberty. They can take off their coverings. They can quit dressing modestly. They don't have to obey their husbands. They're going to rise up in judgment against modern Christianity. Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, they do a lot of things right. Some of the dedication of how they desire to promote what they promote, they're going to rise up in judgment against our unconcern. I was in Malaysia one time. Back in Malaysia, hours and hours from major cities. Driving in little islands, very few people have ever even heard of. And drive along through there and find Methodist churches in every town. Or different villages, all kinds of little churches. All kinds of little churches scattered out through these villages. I remember one time hearing a man preach, and he was reproving some of the plain churches. And he said, for 200 years, here in America, these plain churches have been here in America planting corn. And the Methodists were out planting churches. Who do you think's going to rise up in judgment and judge who on the judgment day? Jesus gave the message that Sodom and Gomorrah whenever we think of wicked cities, most vile cities that we can think of, these are two of them that come to mind. And how God destroyed them with hail, fire, and brimstone. And Jesus said they're going to rise up in judgment and condemn Jerusalem. These famous cities, these religious cities, are going to be condemned by the wickedest, vilest cities that we can think of. Talked of Nineveh. The men of Nineveh are going to rise up in judgment against these modern cities of Jerusalem and condemn them. Where are we going to stand today? With all the light that we have, with all the Bibles we have, with all the knowledge we have, in this generation, and no one listens. Who's going to rise up in judgment? against us. Who's going to rise up in judgment against us? Think about the sports fanatics. The people wearing their uniforms. The soldiers that are willing to die for their being a patriot. The socialists and the communists putting everything that they have into being loyal to their cause, promoting their cause. We don't have to look around very far to find people who are committed to things. We're probably not going to see a great revival. In fact, I'm just absolutely positive we're not going to. Jesus said, as the day draws closer, men's hearts are going to be made colder and colder. Paul talks about a falling away before the Lord returns, not a revival. We may not be able to be a Gandhi or a Mother Teresa. But we can work and be zealous to be like Jesus. There's probably not going to be church planting going on like the Methodists were able to do or the other groups were able to do. But we can still do our little part, give ourselves completely to it. We're not going to see fruit like others have in times past. But we can be ready to meet Him. We can be as loyal to Him as any sports fanatic that there is. We can love our cause in the kingdom of Christ. And we can see these examples of inspiration of people. I was challenged, this general that recently was demoted in the military, about his life. He was a general in the army, 4-star general, controlled the operations in Afghanistan. And they told about how he lived. The soldiers sometimes would be right in the middle of a battle, and they'd look over, and right beside them would be the general, fighting right along with them, right on the front where the fighting is. Sometimes he'd be there during night missions, dangerous missions, and he was right there. They said he slept on 4 hours. He got 4 hours of sleep a day. He ate one meal a day. He ran 6 or 7 miles a day. He's a dedicated man. And he thought he was getting wrong directions to carry out his job, and he spoke up against it and lost his job. Lost all his promotions. A man that dedicated to a cause needs to be listened to. But he's dismissed because he didn't do it right. We stand on the judgment day, we're going to see people like that that were dedicated to their cause. God isn't asking us all to do that. There are examples that we could shoot for and aspire to, that they should inspire us to be dedicated more to our cause. It's a blessing to hear about people like that. There's still people that will give themselves to something. We have the opportunity to give ourselves to the Lord with all our heart, with all our mind, our body and soul. To discipline ourselves. To live holy, to pray, to live for Jesus, to do what's right. To stand out for Him. So that we can stand on the judgment day and not be condemned by some Hindu or some Catholic or some false group. Or some sports fanatic. Or some dedicated soldier. We're not all going to be generals, but we can be a dedicated soldier. Just want to encourage you. Look out ahead of you. Look down the road. See where we're going. times in the Amish, they buy horses that have been on the racetrack to pull their buggies. Their town buggies, anyway. Ones they drive along the road. A lot of times they're just washed up racehorses. And a lot of them have to wear blinders on them. Blinder won't let them see what's coming up behind them. Because in their training of being a racehorse, when they see something coming up behind them, it just makes them want to go faster. And these racehorses that are trained that way, trotting down the road, if they would see a car trying to pass them, they'd take off. Because they don't want to let anybody pass them. And so they have to put blinders on them to keep them from doing that. That's the way we ought to be. We ought to take our blinders off and say, they're going to be that faithful to their God. I want to be that faithful to mine. They're going to be that loyal to their God. I want to be that loyal to mine. Faithfulness is all that's required. Loyalty is what's due. May the Lord add His blessings. Father, we come before You this morning, Lord, and we just again want to thank You, praise You for Your goodness and mercy. Help us be faithful and loyal and dedicated to You, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.